Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 31, verses 1 through 5, and then continuing on at 15 through 16. Hear the word of the Lord. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me. For you are my refuge. For into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Our second scripture comes from the Gospel of John, John 14, verses 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. This is the good news. This is the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for being with us this day, for watching over us, for guiding us and keeping us. We know that while the circumstances we are under are not ideal, we know that where two or three are gathered, you are with us. And now, Lord, we ask that you will guide the meditations of our minds and our hearts as we consider your word, as we consider what you are saying to your church. Be with us, O Lord, as we seek to follow where you lead. In your name we pray. Amen. Today is Mother's Day. This is a day we set aside and celebrate mothers and motherhood. We celebrate grandmothers, aunts, and those in our lives who have loved us and helped to raise us to the people we are. Today we also acknowledge that not all of us have had the best of relationships with our mothers. And so we lean on God, knowing that God has given us the guidance, and God can be as a mother to us. Today is possibly a very easy day, but it's also a very tough day. Normally, we gather together and have picnics, lunches, but after yesterday, I don't know if we would even have picnics because of the snow. But the reality is this, and let me challenge you with this. Today is still Mother's Day, and while our circumstances are not ideal or even close to ideal, we know those women who need to be celebrated on this day. And so celebrate them and be with them. Lift them up, brothers and sisters. Today in our scripture, Jesus addresses the disciples after entering Jerusalem in triumph. This scripture finds itself in the middle ground between Palm Sunday and the horrible events of Good Friday. We see Jesus in just these few moments trying to give insight and care to his disciples. Now, the disciples seem to be ice skating uphill. They don't seem to get it. They wonder why it is Jesus is talking about these things. This moment and other similar moments have a certain feel, at least from our perspective. They feel as if Jesus is making ready, as if he's preparing the disciples for the horrible moments that are to come. The fact is, though, that we only understand the context which Jesus has set out because we've read our Bibles and know what is to come. The disciples are actually lost because they are in the story, in the moment, and only Jesus knows what's going on. You see, we have the benefit of foresight, of hindsight. It's like when Liam gets to a high tension part of a movie that has a bunch of emotions and is telling a great story, but he really doesn't like what's going on. He fast forwards through it. The disciples don't have that benefit. They can't just say, oh, Jesus is dead. Let's get through those next. Where's the fast forward button? Hit it. And then, oh, it's Easter. Hey, there. But even though the disciples don't understand, and only we in Jesus can see the direction that's coming, there's this preparation going on. Jesus is mentally and emotionally preparing the disciples for what is going to be. He's preparing the ground for that moment when they will be lost and without him. We've seen what happens later, that even though Jesus has prepared them, they are lost in that period of time between Good Friday and Easter. And even on Easter, there is this issue amongst the disciples of, has this really happened? Are the women crazy? Did Peter just see something? What's going on? And so there's this point of which we wonder at the preparation, because almost in spite of it, the disciples still aren't ready. But then it also begs the question, what would it have been like had Jesus not prepared the disciples? We see this play out on the Emmaus Road. Think of that moment when the men are discussing what has happened, and what Jesus predicted would happen, and how they're struggling and wondering. They're struggling with the math of it all. 3 days equals one resurrection. Yes, Jesus predicted this. Yes, Jesus said this. But outside of the greater context and understanding of this passage is the genuine and real comfort of it. Jesus is lovingly and caringly preparing his disciples for what will come. Listen to those words again. Believe in God, believe also in me. Now we might think of all of this as a very starting point of this. But this is just an assumption on our part. Consider this. Believe in God and believe also in me is not an assumption, but an instruction for trying and hard times that are to come for the disciples, for the church as a whole. Insert any amount of uncertainty that the church is about to face into that statement and finish it with that. Though I have been betrayed and put on trial for nothing I have done, believe in God and also in me. Though I've been beaten and whipped and sentenced to death, believe in God and also in me. Though I have been nailed to the tree and my side has been pierced, and now I am dead and laid in a tomb, believe in God and also in me. It's not just a theological statement here. Believe in God, believe also in me. This is very real and tangible comfort that Jesus is giving. When things get hard, believe in God, believe also in me, and we will be with you. But Jesus knows of the ordeal that is coming. The disciples don't. There's a brief period of gasps of relief for the body of believers, even before the ascension. There's that period of time where Jesus comes from the resurrection, walks and returns to the disciples, but then he ascends. And then the church is faced with that same mantra, as so much happens to them as they face a world without Christ in it, except he is in it. They just must believe in God and believe also in him. Set aside the questions the disciples ask and see how Jesus linearly is working this through for them. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to the place where I am going. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Even when he directly is asked by Philip a question in which he actually gives a direct answer, he really doesn't answer in that particular looked-for way. Jesus is forging links to a chain, to an unseen chain for the disciples. Links that when they are tossed by the storm of life, they will have a chain of faith, a chain of fundamental truths that Jesus has taught them that will allow them to be anchored in Christ and in God. It's a chain when struggle and loss and grief threaten to completely unnerve and shake the faith and yes, even unity and the entirety of the body of believers, they will still have that chain holding them to the anchor. Think about how this chain, this link, is going to tie them to the body of believers. Think about how this is going to help them in the days and weeks, the months and years that are to come. Think of all the church will go through and how this simple statement, this simple truth, will hold for them. This is the chain holding them to the anchor. There are just those things in life that happen, brothers and sisters. Moments when you're told something and equipped with something that in the moment you don't quite know how to apply it. You don't quite know what it means, and then the moment happens that you recognize what you have been given. That moment where suddenly what you were taught clicks. I remember back when I was student teaching, what seems so many years ago, before setting out for the sink and swim of student teaching, we were told that the state of Michigan had started a new standardized test that was going to be our reality, the MEEP test. It sounds a lot less daunting when you say it's the MEEP test. The fact is, we were told to teach our students one of two approaches. We were told to either ignore the test and just teach the curriculum. We were told to teach to the test, or find a third way. My supervising teacher guided me towards the middle road and said, you need to prepare through the curriculum for the kids to take the test. So he helped me to formulate and create little preparatory moments, little preparatory things in which the kids would learn not the answers to the test, but how to take it. And then it happened when they had taken it and a few of them came up to me and said, Mr. P, I thought you were crazy or maybe mean when you asked us to do some of those assignments. But those preparation you did helped us to take that test. So thank you. And then I gave him homework. So the difference here, though, is that this isn't a test. It is life. And the teacher here that is instructing the disciples is far, far better than I ever could have been. The test is our lives, and Christ is our teacher. Our teacher who prepares all of us for the world and the problems that will come. He gives us hope. Hope in struggle. Hope in trial. Hope for a world to come. Brothers and sisters, one of the difficulties we have is that all of a sudden we are faced with not knowing, with wondering, with worry and fears. And yet we have been prepared. We have been given comfort for what will be. And the issue we face is that at some point we will be challenged even more. We will be challenged to do more. Think about this. Christ says, in my Father's house there are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. With Jesus, there is comfort and care from him. The difficulty is, no, we can't always see what's coming. We can't always see what is going to happen. But we can know that in the midst of chaos, in the midst of everything going on around us, Christ is with us. We know that Christ will see us through. Now, the interesting thing here is that Christ mentions having a place, a home in the Lord, which has been prepared for us. Now, maybe it's the fact that between my siblings and I, there are 8 of us, and right now there are 7 kids with one more coming. And so, an assured space, a space that is prepared, is comforting. Because there is so much not known and not able to be prepared for in our world. There is so much in which we can't know. And yet, Christ gives us an anchor and a chain in which we can follow through the uncertainties and unknowing of life. Right now, our hardest question we have to deal with is when. When will things return? But we are also faced with questions of what phase will this be in? What phase will this be in? When will things be back? We have so many questions right now, and so much uncertainty, and so much not known. But in times like these, we do have our anchor, a cushion that helps us when we fall down. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also. These are not just idle words limited within a certain context or time. These are facts. These are fundamental truths that ring true today as well as every day. And it's times like this that they are of primary importance to us, to believe in God and also to trust that God, as God stood with the disciples, God stands with us. God walks with us. And so, brothers and sisters, hold to that truth. Hold to that anchor as we wonder, as we worry, as we wait. Brothers and sisters,